This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look in agriculture, I'm Tyler Donaldson. The corn and wheat markets started the week under pressure, with traders looking towards spring weather. Allendale chief analyst Rich Nelson said that traders moved past last week's stocks and acreage reports.
Keep in mind, these reports were lightly positive for the corn side. They did move corn from a potential very, very bearish new crop situation to simply a bearish new crop situation. So this would be seen as lightly positive, and right now we're more or less waiting for the next step in terms of risk on discussions, which will be planting and also vegetative health weather. So watching those two very closely here.
Basis bids at the grain elevators, followed by the Red River Farm Network, remain mostly unchanged from the previous week. Corn basis ranges from 45 cents under the May futures in the north to 13 cents under the May futures at Worthington. Soybean basis measures from $1.20 under the May soybean futures in the north to 76 cents under the May at Worthington. Spring wheat basis ranges from 65 cents under the May Minneapolis futures at Aberdeen, South Dakota to 20 cents under the May at the Alton Grain Terminal. Finley Farmers Elevator did move their spring wheat basis to the July futures contract. Corn Belt Marketing market analyst Tyler Endress saying the cattle market stabilized following the bird flu sell-off earlier in the week.
We're finally getting a little bit of a recovery in the cattle market today, but there was definitely a big sell-off after that news broke. To me, it seems a little bit overdone, but at the same time, we're at high prices historically, and so to get a little bit, to have an excuse to take a little bit of money off the table, I can see that from the market standpoint. But I think at the end of the day, this probably it could be a short-term buying opportunity here for a little bit in the cattle.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending March 28th showed combined old and new crop corn export sales of 959,000 metric tons. That's 28% less than the previous week and 22% below the four-week average. Soybean sales of 194,000 tons are 49% less than the previous week and 62% below the four-week average. There were no new crop soybean sales. Combined old and new crop wheat sales totaled 278,000 tons, which is 49% less than the previous week and 9% less than the four-week average. Minneapolis wheat led the wheat complex higher on Thursday, the Money Farm owner Allison Thompson calling it a reaction to the export sales report.
Wheat is obviously kind of running behind, but actually hard red spring wheat is seeing really good exports for both old crop and even new crop now that the marketing year is coming to an end. We are going to start watching for some new crop sales. So maybe that's starting to catch the market's attention. I know looking at futures, you wouldn't think that to be the case, but maybe the market is finally starting to see some of that there is some demand there, and maybe we'll see it reflected in price. But just like corn and soybeans, spring wheat has been relatively range-bound for 6 weeks. We've been kind of stuck between that 640 to 680 mark. So we really need to see a break out of that before we get too excited about seeing some higher prices on the horizon.
And AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says the livestock markets are closing out the week mixed.
As far as the hog market is concerned, we've had a little bit of a pickup in the product values here. That's supporting them. When you look here at the cattle market, of course, we topped here a couple of weeks ago, and cattle market's just been under pressure ever since. I think we're just looking at, the market's just backing off from being overvalued more than anything else right now. I think there is some question here about the consumer demand here. We did have beef exports up here last week, but that hasn't had much bearing on the market there. So there you are.
That was a look at markets this week in agriculture for the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Weeds, disease, planting.
If you grow dry beans, you're disease, dealing with crop management pressures. Planting. All season long.
Weeds.
And while you're tough disease, enough to handle the pressure,
planting.
Your dry beans aren't.
Weeds.
That's why there's BASF. Our dry bean crop protection solutions relieve the pressure with better control, start to finish. Contact your BASF retailer for better dry bean solutions all season long.
Early mornings, late nights, rain, snow, sunshine. It's the rhythm of the day for the American farmer and rancher. We get it. The Red River Farm Network is here to help you make informed decisions for your farm. We're proud to deliver farm news, markets, and weather to the innovators and decision makers. Join farm broadcasters Don Wick, Randy Conan, Whitney Pittman, and Tyler Donaldson for the news that impacts your bottom line. The Red River Farm Network is reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at farm news this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. Grain elevator in southeastern North Dakota apparently losing the option to move grain by rail to the Pacific Northwest. A decision by Canadian Pacific Railway is impacting shippers moving grain to the PNW, including Full Circle Ag at Foreman, North Dakota. Grain division manager Justin Ospie said CP will not match the BNSF freight prices at neighboring elevators.
So what that means for us as a CP loader, right now, the way it sits, we're $1,200 a car or 30 cents a bushel. So the geography we're in, we're surrounded by four BN shippers, or they can ship both CP or BN. So pretty much it puts us 30 cents out of the market.
CP will be honoring the contracts for May delivery, but once those train commitments are full, Ospie says the elevator's basis levels would widen by 30 cents. North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring says there are conversations taking place to get to the bottom of the CP decision.
They have made a decision to discontinue the program. Now, that has some implications, not just for those communities and for those producers, because it could actually put them out of the money, you know, 30 cents a bushel, which is significant. That could be a make it or break it on a farm. We have reached out to them, been in discussions with DMVW, who is the short line provider there, servicing that area, and also CP.
Global fertilizer prices beginning to soften slightly. However, StoneX Director of Fertilizer Josh Linville says that's not the case in the U.S. as spring demand picks up. Logistics seems to be the big issue.
It absolutely is. Coming into this spring season, there's a lot of trepidation. There's a lot of worry in regards to pricing. Supply chain just didn't want to take the risk. They couldn't bear the thought of losing that much money by putting a lot of product in and then seeing prices fall. So everybody's been a little trepid on stepping forward. That makes inventories to start with very tight. Everybody adopting this just-in-time demand model is okay, except when it meets just-in-time logistics. Those are very timely. Those are very expensive. And so we're seeing that kind of starting to hurt on some of these inland points.
The Omnibus Agriculture Policy Bill is passed out of the Minnesota Senate. Agriculture Committee Chair Eric Putman said the bill will help farmers and create new opportunities for agriculture.
One, we've got Senator Kupek's bill that does some revisions to our groundbreaking grain indemnity fund that we did last year that will make things a little bit easier on smaller grain producers. Then we also created a portal for the Department of Agriculture to track complaints about potential violations of corporate agriculture farm law.
Three attempts were made to label lab-grown meat products. Senator Rich Dreheim, who is a Republican from South Central Minnesota, came up with a compromise.
It simply states that we're asking the commissioner to come up with some options and next year come back with a list of options that we can vote on so we can be a leader in this field and label cell-grown meat, lab-grown meat, any type of food product. Pretty simple.
Grower and industry groups from across the U.S. have formed the Modern Ag Alliance with the mission to protect American farmers' continued access to critical crop protection products. More than 60 ag organizations are voicing their support for legislative solutions to ensure consistency in pesticide labeling and reinforcing the importance of science-based regulations. That's a look at farm news this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
It truly pays to be a member of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. For the fifth year in a row, Ag Country is paying a 1% patronage dividend on all eligible business for 2023. The co-op is also making a special second payment of 0.5%. Together, Ag Country members will receive a record $125 million. That's the power of the co-op. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather. From the Northern Plains,
we do expect some showers to develop and a couple of thunderstorms. The majority of the meaningful rain, though, is going to be in southern Canada.
To South America,
Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and Cordoba, but it doesn't occur until we get into next week, leaving plenty of time for changes in the forecast.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. In the latest USDA drought monitor, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says that drought conditions are on the decline in corn and soybean crop areas.
Corn and soybeans in drought, pretty good news there. We see less than a quarter of the U.S. corn and soybean production areas currently in drought on April 2nd, 24% of the corn crop, 22% of the soybean crop that will be mostly planted in the next several weeks. Now, both of those crops have been on a steady general downward trend since about early summer of 2023. Just to remind everybody, we actually saw corn in drought coverage as high as 70% in late June of 2023. And at the same time, June 27th of 23, 63% of the soybean production area was in drought.
Hay and cattle drought conditions have also improved since last summer. The Midwest will see a mostly favorable mix of rain and sunshine over the next 2 weeks that should allow for good planting progress to be made. World Weather Incorporated says rain chances will increase this weekend from southeastern North Dakota to northern Illinois before turning more scattered Monday. The northern plains will be drier in the north with the best chance for moisture in the south and west. World Weather Incorporated senior ag meteorologist Drew Lerner says he expects to see another cold spell later this month, led by a storm system.
The next change coming to our weather probably in the latter part of April, when we will probably have another larger storm system impacting the area, followed by some cold weather. The cold won't last long at all. We'll bounce right back out of it, and hopefully we'll have just enough moisture from that event that we will be able to sail into the month of May and firm that soil back up again and go like gangbusters in the fields. That's kind of my expectation. So I think it's going to be a good scenario getting started here.
Lerner's big concern is the possibility of another dry summer for the plains. Beaver Creek, Minnesota farmer Pete Bakken says alfalfa seeding could start as early as this week. A lag of frost in his area means moisture is staying in place as it falls.
Probably 3 weeks ago, I pushed a 6-inch post in the ground with the payloader. It had a pointed end on it, but it went right in the ground. So we haven't had frost here for probably a month. And for it being so dry, yes, absolutely everything that we've gotten that has fallen from the sky has gone in the ground.
Many ranchers are in the midst of calving season. Carrington Research Center-based NDSU Extension Livestock Specialist Carl Hoppe says making sure calves are nursing and stay dry are the most important aspects of keeping calves healthy this season.
Making sure these young calves have gotten up to nurse is really important, and looking at the udders to make sure they have is the first step to do during calving. Of course, when you have excess mud, excess rain, excess snow, that leads to more of a challenge. And little calves can nurse mud or get mud into their mouth somehow, and that can lead to scours or other sicknesses. And the best way to get around all that, of course, is more bedding or putting cattle out on sod that's dry, and that's a pretty tall order. Of course, the best order of the whole thing is to just have more sunshine and dry ground.
Central and East Central Brazil will see regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms over the next 2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated says enough rain will fall to maintain or increase soil moisture. The remainder of Brazil will see a mix of rain and sunshine through mid-April. Central Argentina should dry out, allowing for harvest to advance over the next couple of weeks. Northern Argentina will be wetter with heavy rains expected over the weekend. This has been a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Protect your crops right from the start. BASF business rep Scott Hammond says Terexa F4 seed treatment will protect your cereal crops from the cold soils.
It's really the only product on the market that can actually kill wireworms, so that's important for the season you're in, plus for the future rotation to be able to kill that wireworm, being it's on a 3-year life cycle typically. We want to be able to kill that wireworm and help for subsequent crops afterwards.
Plan smart, grow smart with BASF.
Imagine this. You gather a stadium full of farmers, step up to the podium, and tell them about your business. What would that be worth to you and your company? This is Don Wick from the Red River Farm Network. We fill that stadium every day with some of the most progressive-minded, forward-thinking farmers and ranchers around the world. Find out how the Red River Farm Network can carry your message to farmers and ranchers. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.